shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Well, that'll be a day, won't it? Amen. Won't you take your Bibles tonight? Let's look in the Gospel of Luke, if you will, Luke. And let's go to chapter number 19. Chapter number 19, again, I'd say something that's pretty familiar to most every one of us. Luke chapter number 19, there's a story about a fellow that would sing a song about the little kids do, particularly. A little fellow by the name of Zacchaeus. You know the story, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. And he climbed up in that sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Amen. And that's really the story. Let's look at it. Let's read it, if you will. In verses 1 through 10, chapter number 19, the Bible said, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you again for loving us. And I thank you again for blessing us and for giving us this place to worship, this time to come and look in the Word of God, this time to sing songs and just to raise our hands and lift our voices and just find out that you're all we need. And we praise you. We thank you for that tonight. Be a blessing now in this time. Help us to rejoice and be glad for all that you're doing. And again, we'll just give you praise for what you do tonight. Maybe there's somebody that needs to get closer. Somebody needs to get saved, whatever their need. Show them that by your amazing grace. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want you to know about Zacchaeus. I mean, as I say, we look at him and as we say they sing the little song about him, the kids do. But I want you to notice what the Bible tells us there in verse number 9. Jesus is saying, and Jesus said unto him, now he's talking to Zacchaeus, "This day is salvation come to this house." Listen, he says, "For as much as he also is a son of Abraham." Now, that seems to be a little, really, a slap in the face to some of the other folks that are there. I mean, Jesus has told these folks all around, and they're not just Zacchaeus listening, obviously, but it's a whole crowd, because you see that the crowd has said, when they saw Jesus, talk to him and tell him to come down and tell him all the things that he said, "For I must abide today at thy house." And he said, when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that's a sinner. I mean, how dare he? Amen. I mean, can you imagine? You know, a lot of times when Jesus did something, as far as salvation or somebody that got something happened in their lives, whether it was, you know, physical changes or if it was the spiritual change, whatever it was, many times there was somebody off on the side saying, "Well, I just don't think that's right. I just don't believe. What's he doing? Why is he doing that? Why ain't he doing it the way that we think they ought to do it?" And you know, sometimes me and you are like that too. Now, in their day, to be a child or a son of Abraham meant of the descent and the lineage of Abraham. And, okay, we got that. But Jesus is using that in a little different context. Because we know that Zacchaeus is a man that has got his riches and his maybe his position. Everything he's done it by kind of a underhanded and sort of a sneaky, they thought of it as a criminal way. And probably a lot of it was criminal to us and to them. Because in those days, those had that had the tax people, which is what Zacchaeus was. It says he was a publican. The publicans were the men that stood out there in the streets and the byways, and when you came through with whatever goods you had, they would demand a tax upon whatever you had. They would just call you over and say, "Have you paid your tax on this?" And if not, then you had to come through the tax man. And that's who Zacchaeus was. And in those days, the way they did it, and maybe we've all heard this, we understand it, but those positions were positions given by the Roman government where a man could go to the government and say, "Hey, I want to be a tax collector." Amen? I don't know if anybody does that today or not with the IRS. There might be a lot of folks afraid to do that, right? But there are people that work for the IRS, okay? You know what? I don't think I've ever met anybody that works for them. I think they're all afraid to say, "Yeah, I'm your tax man." We're going to jump on you. We're going to run you out of the neighborhood. But here's Zacchaeus. They all know him. They all realize who he is and what he does. And those positions, as I say, they were paid for. In other words, you could go to the government and say, "I'll be the tax man at, you know, whatever place, maybe a city or an area, district, and I'll provide, you know, the taxes of whatever that is, X dollars, and you'll get that every month, whatever it is." And what they would do is they'd collect that tax money. But they'd always make sure to collect a little more to pad their own pockets. Now, they had paid the Roman government. Roman government was happy. The Jewish people were not happy. Because, number one, they were taking more than they ought to. Number two, they considered them to be, turning against their own people. And number three, they thought of them as, "Man, you don't belong to..." It was almost a way to dissociate themselves from the whole family of the Jewish race. I mean, they said, "You're a tax man? You ain't my child no more. You're a tax man? You ain't my cousin no more. You're a tax man? I don't know if I want you to be my husband anymore." I mean, it was that serious of an offense and a situation to the Jewish people. So here's Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus is in that place. And listen, the Bible tells us about Zacchaeus. It says that Jesus has entered and passed through Jericho. And it said while he's going there was a man named Zacchaeus. And listen, it says he was chief among the publicans and he was rich. Not only was he a tax man, he was a supervisor for the tax man. Amen? He was on up the tax man totem pole. He had tax people that worked under him. He got his money. He got their money. He got somebody else. And he just got money from everywhere. And he just piled it up. And he was rich. He had money on top of money. All right? So that's the picture I want you to get of Zacchaeus. But I want you to understand some things about Zacchaeus. Do you understand that Zacchaeus really saw himself in some certain ways? Now, first of all, Zacchaeus saw himself as a successful man in the situation that he had been placed. He said, "Wow, I'm doing good." And you know how he based that? The same way that you and I do for a lot of folks. He looked at what was there and he said, "Well, I've got money and I've got a position and I've got a prestige and, you know, all of that. Hey, I've got plenty, so I therefore am a success in this world." That's what he thought. That's what he thought. And you know what? I believe we look at people sometimes. Isn't it amazing how we judge people? We'll judge them by the house they live in, the car they drive, the job and position and title that they have. You know, all those kind of things. We'll begin to judge people and we'll say, "Wow, look at them. They are just so very successful." And that's the way, I believe, when you look at it, that here's Zacchaeus. He's in that same position. Look at me. Look at where I am. Look at what I got. And I am a success. But I can tell you, when you look at Zacchaeus, I believe you and I can understand Zacchaeus is broke. He's broke where it really counts. Because I can tell you this. When you look at him physically, he was a man, as I say, that had a position. He's a man that had a position. But I want you to notice this. He had that position. But I'm telling you, socially, he was in a pitiful situation. Socially. When people saw him, what'd they do? We don't like him. As a matter of fact, can you believe this? That they said, we can't believe Jesus is going to go have a meal with this. He's going to go to his house. We wouldn't dare do that. He was put into a pitiful position. I mean, those folks would say, we don't even walk on the same street he does. We don't want to look at him. We don't want to see him. He's a social outcast. Zacchaeus, we don't even want to know him anymore. Oh, isn't that amazing? Brother, I'm telling you, there's folks like that. And that was his position in life. I mean, as I say, you know, physically, he saw himself as a, you know, and he was probably, I would think, just from some of the things that we read here, a man that was kind of filled with pride because of his position, because of his power, because of his plenty. But can I tell you, as I say, socially, he was a pariah. Nobody wanted to be around him. But then can I tell you, spiritually, he was broken. Spiritually, he was in a broken position. He had nothing spiritually. You ever see folks around and man, they're doing well financially. They're doing well socially. But can I tell you, all of those things do not amount to anything when you don't have anything spiritually. Your spiritual person, your spiritual self is the most important thing in this world and especially in the world to come. Amen? Do you know you'll never see in your Bible that Jesus asked anybody and say, well, what were you when you, you were a doctor. Oh, you were a lawyer. Oh, you were a wealthy, successful businessman. No, sir. Jesus never asked. Jesus never goes that direction. Jesus, you know what he wants to know? How is your heart? Is your heart right with God? The questions of the Bible are questions that do not take into account a man's position. The questions of the Bible do not take into a man's finances. They do not take into account a man's intellect. I mean, there are none. God's not impressed by what you know, who you know, or how much you got in the bank. He wants to know how is your heart, and it's standing before God. Amen? And here's Zacchaeus. And there is something in him that you can see here in these verses. He realizes that there's something on the inside of him that says, I have a longing for something that I don't have. You ever see people like that? As I say, outwardly, they look well-dressed and well-spoken and well-educated and look like they got plenty of money and probably do for many folks. But you know what? They're empty and hollow on the inside when it comes to spiritual matters. I mean, man, they're like that lady by the well. They need a drink of a different fountain. I mean, they're like so many others that we see through the Scriptures that need the saving grace. There's that Ethiopian eunuch riding out in the middle of the desert, and he's reading the Scriptures, and he doesn't understand them, and he's in charge of the queen's treasury, and he's a man of importance. He's a man of position. He's a man of power. He's a man of plenty. But you know what? He needed Jesus in his life to get him saved. Amen. And that's the same thing that people are longing for and missing today. Here's Zacchaeus. And look, it says Zacchaeus in verse number 3, he sought to see Jesus. He wanted to see him. I've got to see Jesus. Why? Because he'd heard about him. He'd heard about what he'd done. He'd heard about how he'd healed. He'd heard about how he'd changed lives. He'd heard about all of the miraculous and marvelous things that Christ Jesus. He'd heard about the seas being still with his voice. He'd heard about the dead being raised. He'd heard about the blind seeing. He'd heard all of those stories. And he wanted to see him. Brother, can I tell you, we need to get folks hungry today to see Jesus. I mean, they're missing something. There's a hole in their lives. There's a place that is void and empty. And they need something to fill it. They need Jesus Christ. Just like Zacchaeus did. Zacchaeus was so ambitious that he... And that ought to be enough to... But can I tell you, as I say, secretly down on the inside, there was something digging in. Said, boy, you're missing something. You're missing something. Listen, you ever watch some of these things on television about the elite, the great actors and sports figures? Now, you'll see that many times they turn to drugs, they turn to alcohol, they turn to illicit relationships, they turn to a whole lot of things. They want to gamble and they'll gamble away. You know what? They're missing something. They're hunting something. They're wanting something to fulfill their life. And nothing will do it outside of Jesus Christ. And can I tell you, here's old Zacchaeus. He's needing something. He thinks the way he pictures himself. Well, here I am. I'm a success. He pictures himself that way. But can I tell you, secretly, he realizes he's empty, bankrupt, and broken because he needs Christ. So you see that he pictures himself as somebody that is a rich man. And, you know, He pictures himself, and we get to see a picture of him as we see in the Scriptures of him as he was seeking, he thought he was seeking Jesus. Look what it says in verse number 3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. He sought. I want to tell you something. He thought that he was on his way to seeking Jesus. Isn't it funny what Jesus said in the very last verse? For the Son of Man is come, what? To seek and to save that which was lost. Can I tell you, the whole time, I've had people say, well, I found the Lord. Can I tell you something? He wasn't ever lost. Me and you were lost. I wasn't hunting him. Thank God he come hunting me. And let me tell you, he found me. And after he got on my trail, I don't think I liked it very good. I think I was saying, Lord, I'm not sure. I want to keep doing what I'm doing. And I want to be like I was. But I want to be part of the church. And I want to be counted in. But I want to still do it. You know what? He said, no, sir. I'm looking for somebody to save from their sins, not in their sins. Amen? And that's the same thing that Jesus is doing. Here's old Zacchaeus, and his picture is this. Well, I'm out hunting religion. Amen. You know, there's a lot of folks out hunting religion today. And there's a lot of folks joining up with religion. There's a lot of folks got just enough religion to make them absolutely stinking miserable. Oh, well, you know, we went today and ate that wafer and drank that wine, and boy, everything's good. Why do I feel so stinking rotten? Why do I feel dirty? Why do I feel like I'm still headed for hell? Amen. Can I tell you, religion won't do it. Amen. There was a song here a while back, and I mean, I listened to it, and I really liked it. It's kind of a little different, weird, and whatever, but, you know, and the name of the song was, Religion Isn't Working Anymore. Woo, can I tell you, that's the truth. I mean, in part of it, he said, fed up with the rites and the rituals and the rules and the regulations. Hey, can I tell you, that's what religion will give you. Religion will give you a set of rules. Religion will tell you, oh, you got to keep these rites. Religion will say, oh, here's what you got to do in order to be part of our group and to make it. Can I tell you, my Bible said, all you got to do is believe on Jesus and he'll save you. Amen. Woo, can I tell you, you ain't got no long list of absolute commands and you know, things that come from him. I'm telling you, Jesus said that Philippian jailer we read the other day with Paul and stuff, and the Philippian jailer said, sir, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, here it is, it's tough. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen? I think I read that somewhere else. Paul wrote that over in Romans chapter number 10, didn't he? For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What does that mean? That means you believe in your heart that Christ died and that he paid for your sins. And you're trusting him for that payment. You can be saved. Amen. Boy, ain't that good? I'm just telling you. That's what. And here, as I say, You know, here he is. Zacchaeus is thinking. Zacchaeus saying, "Well, I gotta go find him. I gotta go find me some religion. I gotta go find me a church. I gotta go find me somebody I can join up with." So you know what he did? He's hunting Jesus down. It says, and he sought to see Jesus. Now he really wasn't seeking the relationship with Jesus, but he just won't see. You know, preacher, I'm going to go over to the church, and I'm going to sit down in the pew. I'm going to sing the songs. When y'all pray, I'm going to bow my head. When they take up offering, I'm going to give money. When they do all the other things, I'm going to smile, laugh, shake hands, and be friendly and all. But, hey, I'm just looking. Hey, man, you ever been there and done that? I don't like nobody kind of chase me in the store. But then some of them salespeople come up to you, "Can I help you?" "No, I'm just looking." I believe that's the way a lot of folks are in the religious world. "Can we help you?" "No, I'm just looking." "Brother, can I tell you, I was looking one day and Jesus found me. He arrested me. He saved my soul. Thank God he got me out so he could bring me in." Amen. Hey, I'm just telling you, that's where Zacchaeus was. He just wanted to see, what is all this about? What's going on? I mean, you know, he was doing some reasoning in his mind. "Well, let me think about this." Hey, can I tell you something? Sometimes there are people that just overthink this stuff. Their mind is, just all messed up from their own reasoning. God says, "Come now," chapter number 1 of Isaiah. "Come now, let us reason together." You know what God said? He said, "Let me tell you. And then you think whatever you will, but you need to be thinking like I'm thinking. Because can I tell you, God's thoughts are above our thoughts. And His ways are above our ways. And brother, He's always right and we're always wrong when we're within ourselves. God is wanting you to think His way." But here's Zacchaeus. I don't know what kind of thinking he had. But he takes off running. Amen? He sought to see the Lord. And look what it said, verse 4. And he ran before. He takes off a running. "Oh, I'm going to run this down. I want to see. I'm going to find out. I'm going to check into it." But you know what happens? He ran in to reality. And the reality is that Jesus knew who he was, knew what he was, and still wanted to save him. Isn't that amazing? We get this story. And he's up a tree. It said he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. He said, "Well, I'll view this religious experiment from my tree branch." Amen? That's the way some folks are. They want to climb up a tree so they can look on the circus below. Well, that's what he was doing. But isn't it amazing? While he did that, Jesus stopped when he got to where he was. Can I tell you, Jesus knows where you are. You can be up a tree. You can be down a hole. You can be over somewhere else. And he knows. You remember what happened to Jonah? "I'll just get on the boat and I'll get away from the presence of the Lord." Wrong. You cannot run from God. There's nowhere to hide. When God is after you, when God's going to find you, when God searches you, thank God he knows right where you're at. Amen? Amen. And you know what? Jesus knew where he was. Look what it says there in verse number 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he knew what place Zacchaeus was in. He looked up and he saw him and he said unto him, "Zacchaeus," called him by name. Woo, that's tough, ain't it? "Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." I mean, here's Zacchaeus. He's pictured himself that he was a man that was successful. He has pictured himself as a man that went seeking religion. But you know what? Jesus found him in spite of all of that. Can I tell you, sometimes you and I picture ourselves in one way, and the Lord said, "Nope, that ain't it." A long time ago, there was this old gospel song. I think the Cathedral Quartet sang it and said that he saw me. It's talking about Jesus saw me, not for what I was, but for what I could be. Do you realize the potential? And most of us do not realize the potential within ourselves. I remember being in high school, and at that time, you know, they made you take these weird tests as being a junior, whatever. And they give you these battery tests. And this was some kind of test that the Army put out. And everybody took them, you know, we went through blah, 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 blah. And so anyway, week or two, 3 weeks, whatever it was, they send your results back. They sent back the results on me. And the Army test people said that I would be good at public speaking. And I began to laugh. Ha, 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 y'all don't know nothing about me. You ain't got to, I'll never do anything like that. Well, maybe the Army knows more than I did. I don't know. Maybe the Lord let them know more than I did. But I thought that was hilarious at the time when they did some of those little tests and stuff that they do on people. But I'm just telling you, friend, God knows where you're at. God knows what your potential is. God knows more about you than you know about yourself. Yeah, how many times have you heard? I've heard plenty of times about preachers that stand up and say, boy, God dealt with me and dealt with me and dealt with me. And I'm like, God, I can't, and God, I won't, and God, I'm not going to preach. You know, and they tried to run, try to get out of it, whatever. But I'm telling you, in the end, amen, he'll get you every time, amen. Or he'll get you to the place where you wished you'd have said yes. Amen. God, when he's after somebody, when he's impressing somebody, when he's working on somebody, brother, I'm telling you, you'll find that God knows what he's talking about. The Lord stopped, looked up, said, Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to your house today. Thank God, aren't you glad for the day Jesus come by and took him home with you? Amen. So here's Zacchaeus. He pictured himself as, you know, somebody that had all of the stuff. He was a success. He pictured himself as somebody that was seeking religion. And then he pictured himself as somebody that was just hated by everybody that he was around. And you know what? Publicly he was. I mean, everybody, they hated him. You see that? He pictured himself. Look, it said in verse number 7, and when they saw it, I mean, Jesus said, come down, I'm going to your house. And he made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, I don't know who they are, but they cause a lot of problems, don't they? They cause a lot of issues. They get things out of whack. They get things wrong. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying, that he is going to be a guest with a man that's a sinner. Oh, my goodness. What about that? I mean, and Zacchaeus realized, I am rejected, hated, despised by those that are my countrymen. But aren't you glad of this? All of that can be true, but Jesus loved him. Amen? I'm telling you, how did that fill in that blank spot in the Bible? Well, Jesus said, the Bible tells over the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, where we've been reading some, that he was despised and rejected. He came into his own. His own received him not, John says. Brother, I'm telling you, he was hated among men. But you know what? That didn't keep him from saving us. It didn't keep it. Can I tell you this? Jesus knows what kind of mess you and I can make. You know what? He still loves us anyway. He knows that you can fall, fail, and go flat on your face. But he still loves you anyway. He knows you can get mad and blow up and say things. But you know what? He still loves you anyway. Isn't that amazing how that Jesus loves you even in the shape that you're in? He says, you know what? I still love you. Woo! Ain't that good? Thank God. Hey, the Lord knows what we are. He knows we're nothing but just, oh, clay and water, and we're just mud, brother. We ain't nothing special. But thank God, Jesus still loves us even as we are. And here's Zacchaeus. I say, everybody here despised him. Everybody here was against him, except for Jesus. And he took him home. But you know what? He was despised by his own countrymen. He was despised by the religious crowd, the publicans. And, I mean, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they didn't like the publicans. They hated them. The public people, they hated them. But can I tell you, Jesus looked at him and said, but I love you. And I'm going to give my life for you one day. And listen, when he was there in the tree, Jesus said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and he came down, and Zacchaeus, he received him joyfully. And then look what he says. Verse 8, then Zacchaeus stood, after all these people said what they said about it, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. What does that mean? Well, what it means is this. Zacchaeus finally pictured himself as a man of faith in Christ. He was a man of faith. He believed that the Lord was the Lord and that Jesus loved him and that Jesus could save him from his sins. And you know what? All of his pictures, he could take all his pictures of himself out now and break them into 1,000 pieces because those pictures aren't true anymore. The pictures that you and I have had of ourselves down through our life. You know, people sometime probably in your life, you probably had people say, you'll never amount to anything. You'll never go in. You'll never be much. You'll never have anything. Oh, you're not smart enough. You're not pretty enough. You don't meet the standards that everybody else holds. I mean, you probably had people tell you some of those things before. But can I tell you, when Jesus comes in, you can take him pictures and just shatter them to pieces. Because, brother, in Him, you can be a child, a son of Abraham too. Because those are the true people of faith. Those are the people that believe that Christ Jesus is the Redeemer, is the lover of our souls, and is the one that's going to take us home to be with Him one day. And guess what? We're going to be like Him. Brother Ronnie was talking about that this morning in our Sunday school class, that, you know, we all wonder, what's it going to be like? What are we going to be like when we get in heaven? Well, John told us in chapter number 3 of the first John, the little John, he said, brethren, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we see Him, we'll be as He is. Now, I don't know right now what that is. But I'll guarantee you this, whatever it is, you're going to like it. You will just absolutely love being like Jesus. Amen? Thank God, aren't you glad you're going to be like Him one day? Amen. Zacchaeus was short. Zacchaeus was ridiculed. Zacchaeus was hated. Zacchaeus was an outcast from society. He was every bit of it. But can I tell you, you know what he's doing right now? He's singing, oh, how I love Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus made a difference in his life. And that's the only thing. If he'd have kept on the same course, he'd have been a bitter, hateful, hated, cantankerous old man one day, probably. But thank God when Jesus came by, something happened in there and he got a heart of love and everything began to change. Amen. What about you tonight? Brother Ronnie, while we get ready to sing some song, maybe there's somebody here this evening and you just need Christ Jesus to do something just especially for you. Maybe there's something there, a burden, or there's a burr in your saddle, or there's a contention, there's a problem, there's just some issue going on. Why not bring it down here and say, Lord, will you please help me with those things tonight? I need you to give me some assurance and some reassurance that I'm yours, that I'm a child of Abraham, that I'm a child of God, that I'm a child fit for heaven tonight. And I just want to feel that relationship and that comfort and that peace that only comes from you. Let's stand, if you would, tonight. Stand, if you would, and we're going to sing. What are we going to sing, Brother Ron?